This is RFR Q&A.
Hey, Star Wars fans, Jimmy Mack here with you, and welcome back to another edition of RFR Q&A. And RFR Q&A is always a good time. It's when I get to talk to members of the RFR VIP supporter community. And this guy's one of my all-time favorites.
He's got a cold, so you're going to have to...
No, don't tell him that part.
It's Joe Dallas.
Hey, Jimmy Mack, how you doing? My good friend and yours, I guess.
Good.
Hey.
Good.
Yeah.
So what's this idea? We're going to do jazz scatting throughout.
Yeah, we were right before you were, when it said the host is thinking about letting you in the meeting, I might have been going, skill-a-booba-dee-ba-doo-ba-flee-bop, and then you chimed in with, yeah, see, that was good. That's a little scat for everybody.
That's yeah, scat. Except when I scat, everyone else scrams.
Oh, scram! They scram.
They
scram out of there.
So, how you doing, my friend? Welcome to a very autumnal RFR Q&A.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
you know, it is for me. I know it's not for you out there in the Florida Keys.
No, it is.
It is. So what signifies fall weather out there in the Florida
Keys? The weirdest thing for me is it's rain or no rain. And this particular couple of months is rain. Rain. Mm-hmm. My street's about a foot lower than everybody else's around here. Mm. And it likes to fill up with water. And then you have to decide before you get to leave in the morning, is that salt water or is that just rainwater? And then you decide if you're going to take the giant van or just the car to work.
Wow.
Well, that's what I think about because, you know, man, it's just a ton of rain. It's just like rain with rain on it. Mm-hmm. And then if it's not a hurricane, it's just plenty of rain. I have my jacuzzi propped up right now because, you know, that's what you got to do.
Yeah. Prop up that jacuzzi.
Prop up the motor and like let the water come underneath if it's going to come up out of the canal and whatever, and it's going to go back down. Once it hits Halloween and we all dress up and run around, that thing's over with. We're good. But it's a weird 2 months.
Are you doing a Star Wars Halloween dress up this year?
Well, I think I've morphed into a thing where I kept trying to be Boba Fett, but then everybody just, when Wednesday came out, they all started calling me Uncle Fester, whether I liked it or not. And so I, look at this.
What do you got?
I only need one thing. Hold on.
All right. Joe is walking away from the microphone now. He's scrambling there at the Joe Dallas headquarters in the Florida Keys.
If I put this on, I go from Joe Dallas into either Gru from the, you know, the kids shows or Uncle Fester. This one scarf. Put on a jacket. And it's that Gru's. And then everybody instantly knows I'm either Uncle Fester or Gru.
That's all you have to do is just put on a scarf.
I'm telling you, and the kids will line up and follow me around looking for free candies. Anyway. Yeah, they do that anyways, right? Yeah, so I just throw this scarf on. But yeah, so that's probably what I'll do for Halloween. I'll run around with that. Maybe instead of a lightsaber for once, you know, who knows?
Oh, no, you got to have the saber with
you. Maybe I'll be Gru with a lightsaber. It's an idea.
Yes.
Everybody. This is money well spent. Everybody loves this.
It's a sharp looking black and white striped scarf,
which turns you into Fester or Gru instantly.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. Yeah. I don't think there's a scarf I can throw on that and make me look like anything other than someone who's freezing in the Chicago winter, which is right around the corner.
Oh,
geez. So I kind of relish this time of year because I like it. It gets cool here, but it's still, you can still exist outside.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And take the dog out, and then the dog. What's the dog ever go like, no, I don't want to go out there?
No, not really. Okay, he likes the snow just fine.
Okay. Yeah.
My old dog, Tiki, he used to really like burrow into the snow. I mean, he loved the snow. He was crazy for it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. That was, you know, different strokes for different folks, for sure. I think he was part Tauntaun. And he didn't smell bad on the outside. So
I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
On the outside. Hey, Joe, so what's been going on with you and Star Wars stuff? I mean, here we are post-Ahsoka.
Oh,
sure you have a few comments about that particular.
My heavens, I have all kinds of things about Ahsoka. So many questions and things I want to talk about. Even a top 10 list that's going to blow your mind.
Ooh, top 10. Okay. Yeah,
that'll be coming. Hey, before we do that, I saw you just uploaded a thing about upgrading your character.
Yes.
About Tyler and Matt upgrading their characters.
That's right.
I just saw it go up the second before we started this show.
Yeah, it just went right up there. Boom. There it was.
You don't know what it means to do that. I don't know what it means, but I'll listen to the show and I'll find out.
Yeah, that's so true. Upgrading Grando. Mm-hmm. I was away for the weekend.
What's that even mean?
So this is a bonus show.
Right.
I was away for the weekend, so Matt and Tyler got together to, quote, upgrade Grando.
Well, can you just do that whenever you want? What are the rules?
I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
I don't know how it works.
I was satisfied with where my head was at. And now they're going to take me and give me a lobotomy or something?
I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy.
There you go.
Hey, is this thing on? You know what I want?
What?
A Podcastus action figure.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I want one, and I want his extra item to be a pizza, like a nice pizza.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And you think the pizza, wow, it's like a special pizza or something. No, it really isn't. It just tastes really good.
It's just some za. And here's the thing. I want a podcast, this action figure, and I want a Grando the Grand. And I'm trying to think about what I should use, you know, when I put this out there, if I find somebody to, you know, I'm just the idea man here. But if a guy makes a Grando the Grand figure, I mean, what are we going to do? I mean, all I can think about for Tyler is a beard. So maybe we'll get a beard, detachable beard for it.
A beard on the
Grando.
On the Reyes.
With detachable Tyler beard.
But a big black, bushy black beard.
What else should we put in there? I mean, I guess that's all I can
think. White Sox cap, of course.
Oh, okay. Well, I think the beard might be in universe.
Strictly in universe. Yeah. Well, we'll just give him some kind of cap or something.
Oh, I wonder what the word for Star Wars pizza is, if we can even come up with one. And then, is Matt a character or not? Like, I don't understand. Is he anybody?
I think he handles,
is he like a wizard guy or something?
Well, he like, you know, roles for the stormtroopers and for...
he is everyone.
He's been Cassian Andor. He's been Jackson.
I love it when he's Cassian Andor and he just gets mad about everything.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like a barrel of monkeys with Pod and Grando. So listen, Cassian's he's a very intense guy.
Yeah.
He knows what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have time for tomfoolery.
No time for that.
Large pizzas. He just doesn't have time for that.
No, ain't got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Well, there was so much stuff in Ahsoka. Let me start off with one question that I've been wondering.
Okay.
You know, at the end of Rebels, they have that scene where Ahsoka the White is there, cling clang, and Sabine, and she touched the face on the picture, and hey, that's an Ezra. I'm going there. She says we're gonna go there. So that never happened in Ahsoka.
Or did it?
But how could it have? They went to find Ezra separately, and she wasn't Ahsoka the White yet.
Right.
So one of these really happened, and one of these is a vision of what might happen. Like, when they left, they didn't go together. So when they finished that show, I'm just surprised that I didn't think of this earlier. I didn't hear this earlier. Like, that shot is we're going to get Ezra. I'm Ahsoka the White.
Right.
Let's go get him.
Right. And she's got ring on top. And
no matter what point that was, that never happened.
Yet.
It couldn't happen. They can't happen. It couldn't happen.
Well, it can happen, but maybe it happens in another circumstance. Well, see, the narration, I don't think we can
get it. Flashes forward.
I don't think we can get out of this one because the narration at the end of the narration at the end of the show suggests that their next move is to go search for Ezra.
It's a suggestion.
It sure seemed that way.
Even has her in the real show because these are real. These things are real. And she, you know, touches his face and then she goes and walks away. And there's that whole scene.
Yeah.
It's not quite the same. So he took a little liberty there. And that's okay with me. I just wondered about it and was confused about it for a while. Like, it actually made me confused. Like, didn't I see them already leave and didn't they go together? But that just a little bit confused me. And sometimes when something a little bit confuses me, I just can't get it out of my brain. But I love the Ahsoka. Don't get me wrong.
Me too. It just...
I had to rewatch it. Like, what did I get wrong there? I couldn't figure it out.
What you're giving me is an example of an analysis breakdown that completely falls apart.
Analysis breakdown!
Because you can't... You can't push past that. So, and yeah, I ran into these dead ends constantly watching the show. And I determined that this is Star Wars for people who don't want to think. And I don't think Star Wars has ever been created with the suggestion the listener shouldn't think about what's being presented on screen. It's just every time I thought about, I mean, you're just mentioning one of probably, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 questions I have about the Ahsoka series and why things were happening the way they were. So now that it's come and gone, season one, all I'm just focusing on is getting some clarity in season two. So,
well, I certainly loved it. And there was an idea of what might happen in the future. Maybe they should have been a little more dreamy or a thought or maybe a, you know, in other words, I just, he usually fixes those kinds of things or takes his last scene and starts with a fresh, but not this time. No. And it just stuck in my head. I kept wondering, well, when does that happen? And then I kept going through the show, like, when does that happen? When does she get white? When does she turn into that? She's not that yet. They already left. They went, didn't go together. They never said, let's go get Ezra. I mean, I thought, well, maybe that's when they were training. Let's go train and then go get Ezra. But she's already white, and that didn't happen until the fifth show.
Well, I mean, it's like, what? Ahsoka could never wear white until she had the near-death experience?
Not that kind of super Ahsoka, the whiteness. Okay. You know, so anyway, enough of that. Stuck
it's,
in my,
well, if that's a tough hill to climb, I mean,
stuck there for a little bit.
Yeah,
you know what I like? Something that is very fun for me.
What?
How many million times Sabine actually does take a shot? I think in every situation, she gets shot.
Okay,
there isn't a single time that somebody has a gun, or I shall say blaster, that you don't hear pating. And I think it's fantastic because she doesn't get away from everything. And they're all getting away from everything. You know, wah, 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 flip, flop, flip, dop, out, in, out, out, taekwondo. And then, you know, just ching, she gets hit like in every scene. And I think that's fantastic because she doesn't know how to do all that yet. And I enjoyed hearing her get hit.
This is a different perspective.
Yeah, I enjoyed hearing her get hit because it made me say she's good, but she ain't that good. She ain't that force. Mm-hmm. And I loved that she kept getting hit, and I think she got hit in every scene.
Well, you know, that's all kind of established with Mandalorian. He gets shot an awful lot.
Well, I know, it's not
Beskar armor. She has the Beskar armor as well.
I just think it's fantastic. Nobody else got hit. But she got hit a lot. And I mean, not just a little or a couple times. That I really enjoyed. You know, it was just every fight. Those guys, they don't ever get hit. Ever. Mm-hmm. Never. Now, here's another point. So you got the Hu Yang.
Uh-huh.
I like Hu Yang.
Yeah.
I tried to buy the Hu Yang figure.
Mm-hmm.
And I never usually try to buy this stuff. And I bought, you know, because it's all new and everything. I try to buy it and it's a pre-order. And I always hear you guys talk about pre-orders, you know. I never pre-ordered anything. But I guess I got a pre-order now for a Hu Yang that comes out in 2024.
Oh, my God. 2024?
Smack a Hu Yang together before then?
No, that makes sense. You know,
May, you know, May.
It happens. You have to wait sometimes. I mean, like six months or whatever.
Is there zero plant? Yeah, okay. But anyway, so I got to wait for a Hu Yang. But now here's the real point of bringing up Hu Yang. Mm-hmm. So this droid is about 25,000 years old.
Yes.
Okay, that's cool.
This is true. Yeah.
I love that about him.
Yes.
How many times did he die, almost die in 6 months? How does a guy live 25,000 years and pretty much almost get killed 14 times in 3 days?
That's so true.
holy a lot of kills in 3 days.
Poor Hu Yang. See, people get on my case because I call him Hu Yang. Hu Yang.
That's leaving some pronunciation out of it.
Hu Yang, like Yu Tang clan.
It's a Yang. It's a Yang and a Ying and a Yang. Hu Yang.
I don't know why I feel more comfortable doing it that way, but
Hu Yang.
I know the character's name is Hu Yang.
It took me 2 shows to remember his name or even say it.
Yeah, you know, the people jump all over me and they're acting like the character's been around as long as R2-D2.
They need to settle down now.
Settle down, children.
Settle down, people.
But then some people, I saw some person post, hey, I find it endearing when our show hosts mispronounce things. I'm like, oh, endearing. Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
See, there's always 2 sides to every coin.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, sure, you know. That's what I told young Anakin. There's always 2 sides to every coin.
What was Hu Yang doing right for 25,000 years?
He's
blowing all this right in the last end. 25,001 dies 4 times in 3 days.
Well,
almost.
And he says he's been mostly, he still is mostly original parts.
Mostly original,
a certain percentage.
Okay.
What, you know, it opens up the door to all kind of stories you can tell with this character.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like that. I like Hu Yang.
Nice shot of him. Yeah.
Yeah, there's I got a photo of him here.
He looks great.
I put him on the stage, you know. When Joe Dallas is in town.
I love this. Yeah. And he's a great guy. And I'm loving him. I'd like every single droid counterpart in every show, you know, so far so good. I love them all. And I love this.
Well, hold on now.
I love this guy.
Hold on now.
Yeah. I like BB-8. I like R2. I like C3. I like, I did not like Lando's girl.
That's the one. That's the wrench in the fan.
I do like it if she is in the Falcon, which explains a whole heck of a lot. So I like it for that reason.
I don't think the Falcon needs that kind of artificial intelligence. I always thought that, it was Han's skills and the way that they souped up the Falcon like a hot rod had nothing to do with the Nava computer. I mean,
yeah. But if she's in there, it does explain why she's temperamental and sort of argumentative and kind of like good but bad. I don't know. I that's the only part of that droid I like.
Okay.
That maybe it's a part of the Falcon.
Okay. I'll give it to you, Joey.
Yeah, but let me tell you something. I do like all these droids and they're specific. Mm-hmm. They got to make up a new guy for each thing. And this guy, he didn't let me down. I love his whole deal. I love he was there for Kanan. I love he was there. He had extra parts. He's like, you're doing it wrong and the whole thing. And you guys are better when you're together. And the odds are this and that. I just love these guys.
Yeah, droids are cool. And then we had B2 from Andor. Did you like B2?
That mover guy, the yellow mover guy?
He was, I think he was more orangish, reddish orange maybe. And he was like
load lifter type guy.
I don't know if he's
load strong, you know? Well, I think he unloads boxes.
No. You're
not thinking, that guy.
You're thinking of K2SO.
No. K2SO is assassin droid, you know, and I'll give him Rogue One extreme great guy.
Yeah.
But this guy, he was a kind of a, he didn't talk, you know, he's real stiff.
No. He would say, Marva.
Oh, I love that guy. The red, little red guy, R2 type of red guy. Loved him. I'm thinking about the load lifter guy.
Load lifter guy.
Yeah, he's the one that was when they were kind of going through the tunnel, the Jedi secret tunnel.
That was Kenobi.
But he's the token droid in Kenobi then.
Is he?
I guess
he is. Yeah. I get
that. Okay, so that was Kenobi.
Yellow thing. No, I don't.
I like Marva. I loved him. He's a cute little guy. He's a little bit battered. He's got a Dio type of a little bit like beat down, like oh no kind of thing. I like that red guy. He's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did he survive? I can't remember.
Oh yeah.
He was on board the ship at the end. He
totally survived.
Are you coming with us?
I got confused between Obi-Wan and Andor, and it's just like, geez, I guess that's a good thing to be confused about. Like,
it's okay.
A lot of stuff.
There's a lot of stuff hitting us, and it does become something of a blur at times.
Yeah. Right.
So I get where you're coming from. Believe
okay.
me. Now, gets where you're coming from, I do.
In Ahsoka, here's a cool thing I noticed, because I got lots of little stuff about Ahsoka to talk about. So You got this. These are things that I see and I notice that I like. You know, you got Darth Vader's castle. It's got a prong at the top of it like this, right? And that is like whatever that is the same shape as the thing when they put on Cetos, they put that pedestal and they put that that ball on there. It kind of goes on there and it moves around and it that same fork design.
Yeah, the fork design.
The fork design. Okay, yeah, there we are.
We'll call it the fork design.
Yeah, it's great for channeling dark energy, right?
For use, you have to use the forks to get the dark energy.
You got
to
fork the energy out of stuff, and Vader's entire castle is a giant fork thing. And
that's why the galaxy is forked.
Oh.
Use the fork, Luke.
Just thought that was neat that the fork design on small scale is pretty cool. And I like that consistency. Mm-hmm. I like channeling the dark with the fork, and I like that his giant castle is a fork. And I just think that's pretty cool.
Well, that's a good observation. Just by design, you're noting a similarity between the top of Vader's castle on Mustafar and the Stonehenge on Cetos that was used to activate the map.
Stonehenge itself is very forky.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
So now when you got all the Stonehenge things happening in these locations, and they go and make things happen or show maps or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it goes you right to the other one. By the way, Thrawn pulls up onto a sort of a fork type of item, you know, top of
the Night Sister's
Sister Citadel,
tower.
Very forky.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the fork family.
Was it forky?
Well, it was forkish. Anyway, it's pointy.
Forkiness.
It's not too forky, but it's pointy. And it's just a similar design of their power shooting out.
Joe, we're going to have to draw a distinction between forky and pointy.
Well, forky...
Everything cannot be a fork, Joe.
Everything. Forky is a great character from Disney. He throws himself in the garbage all the time. But I digress. I can't remember what show he was from. Somebody will remember. I can't remember.
I have no idea.
Oh, good. Everybody else does, though.
Forky? There's a Disney character named Forky?
Oh, yes. He's... Okay, hold on.
No, I'm looking for it. You can just continue.
Okay, I'll continue. Forky's a great guy, Eddie. You know what he says? What? I'm trash. And he keeps throwing himself in the garbage can.
Oh, I think I know who you're talking
about. You found him?
Yeah, because why I didn't
instantly... We were all laughing when we heard that.
It's from Toy Story.
Okay, yeah, Forky.
Right? Forky is from Toy Story.
He's a great guy, but he's not dark.
I never saw that.
He's a little dark. He keeps trying to kill himself.
Seriously?
Well, he just says, I'm trash, and tries to run to the garbage can all the time.
Okay, Forky. All right, so that's from a Toy Story I never
saw.
Yeah,
that's where he is.
Okay. And all right, and wait, so I mean, you just totally distracted me with this.
I know, Forky. I can't. Yeah,
and I can't stop thinking about Forky right now. And
okay, all right,
I want to know more about
Forky. Oh, there he is. See, he's a little dark, right? He's kind of not too well. He's not that too well adjusted. Look, he's holding a knife and a fork and a spoon too.
Well, maybe it's a family reunion.
One big eye, one little eye. This reminds me of when I would go and grab googly eyes and stick them on everything and turn everything into animals and people and monsters.
Well, Forky is actually
all you need.
Forky is actually a spork.
Yes, he is.
And he has googly eyes and a funny rubber bandy mouth and funnier rubber bandy brow. And then it looks like he has pipe cleaners for arms.
I feel like he could channel some serious dark side straight out of the top of that fork.
Do you think maybe he should appear in the next Star Wars film? Like the big threats to the galaxy should be Thrawn and Forky.
Home into a Lego thing, you know, because those things don't make any sense anyway.
So we'll confuse them with an assault of flatware that they never saw coming.
How did this happen?
Just as I planned.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I got another question, another thing. So we go to another galaxy. We get all the way out there. Oh, we're finally all the way out there. Okay. And I love the animals we meet there in a small little hermit crab village that you said hermit crab trailer park. That was fantastic. I almost lost it when you said that because that's what it was. And that was the words we needed for it. And I think that should go out there for everyone to enjoy.
I think people picked up on that.
Yeah. I think that's genius. Anyway, hermit crab trailer park. Guys were great, and so were those animals that they're riding around on. My daughter and I loved them. They got mad and ran away, came back. But the point is so we've been to one place.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck else is out there?
Oh, you mean in that
goes to a galaxy and goes to one planet and turns around and comes back?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
They have ships, and they didn't even look to see what was to the left or the right.
Well, it's kind of complicated. Well, because the planet is surrounded by the whale bones.
What's a ring?
Yeah, I know. But
what else is out there? Seems
like they have to fly through the ring to get in and out of there.
Well, they have scanners and all these things. Like, what? I mean, they didn't bring up anything else.
And there are whales out there.
There sure are. That's my top 10 list.
So, I mean, so you have those two obstacles. And also because Thrawn's Star Destroyer, if you look on the back, its main engines are non-functional.
Are they non-functional? Yeah, he's just hovering. I know that. Yeah, with his other ones. And the big ones are off. Yeah.
Yeah. So
saving fuel, you know. Does he have any fuel?
Fuel could also be another problem. So I think that Thrawn has no choice. He has to get out of that galaxy because he can't really poke around there. He can't really investigate. He's probably, you know, planet locked if his thrusters aren't thrusting.
I like that. It's a graveyard planet. I love that.
Yeah,
and I just am thinking, boy, do we have a lot more to see out there, and nobody seems interested in it much, too interested in, but me. Like, I mean, my TV, and they don't seem to see any other stuff around or want to go anywhere else.
Listen, Dorothy,
I hope they do.
Dorothy could have stayed in the Land of Oz forever, but she just wanted to get the hell out. You know, there wasn't time to explore.
Wow, what
she
a good point.
To go home. And so that's what these guys.
That's all they want to do is go home. Well, now that they're stuck there, we can go run around and see what the heck else is out there.
Well, that would be nice.
That would be real nice.
But Ahsoka, Shin, Sabine, Baylan, they're locked on the planet now. They don't have a ship. Oh, they do have a ship.
They have a ship.
Ahsoka's ship.
So you got a guy, and he's pointing like this.
Uh-huh.
And he's pointing like this.
Yeah.
And the pointy part isn't broken. We kept that for a million years. The pointy part.
Yeah.
But the the daughter is crumbled. Now, right. She's crumbled because she's not there because her bird is her, and she crumbled because she's passed out of the scene there, and that those are depictions of what's actually still there. I don't know how this works, but I could see if she's really the Convor, and the girl and the daughter statue is missing. But I just think that's a long time for that pointy part not to break. It's like, it seems like a lot of things could have happened to that. Okay, so he's pointing at that energy source.
Is he pointing?
Did we even need him to point? It's pretty right there. I mean, you don't think he's pointing?
Well, is he doing this? Here, let's take a look here.
And it doesn't break after all these years.
There's our guy.
The girl is gone.
The daughter is gone.
Broken. And pointy finger, man. If I made that, that'd be broken a week. People would be like, well, you made the pointy part, so it's going to break.
Oh, I see. Okay, so I guess the finger is snapped off.
Is it?
And then there's Balin up there.
I'm glad that it's snapped off because I don't know how it lasted this long. The girl's gone. He's pointing.
That's the sun? It looks more like the Flash. Doesn't look. Or Daredevil.
He does have that design on his head.
I'm trying to figure out what I'm looking at here.
That's the sun.
Oh, I see it now. Yeah. You really got to zoom in. It's kind of dark.
And the daughter's gone because she's a Convor Ahsoka combination of some sort.
Okay. That's the son. That's the father. And yes, the daughter.
It's gone.
Now, some people were speculating on the show, on the after show, that maybe the Night Sisters use their magic to destroy the daughter because the daughter represents the light side of the Force.
Interesting. But the erosion, if it's just erosion, his arm stayed. That's pretty amazing. And there's Balin up there.
Yeah. He's
now, just hanging. He may go on, like you said, into this.
Oh, Skeleton Crew.
See my shirt?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. The story might be continued before we know it in Skeleton Crew. That's very true.
And those kids are going to get lost in a strange, in a Stranger Things planet. Maybe not this one, which would help us know what else is out there. Maybe they're going here somewhere else around here.
The description of the show that was filed with
Lost in a Galaxy,
the U.S. Copyright Office said, the first episode of the Skeleton Crew, we are introduced to four kids who make a mysterious discovery on their seemingly safe home planet and get lost in a strange and dangerous galaxy. Finding their way home, meeting unlikely allies and enemies, will be a greater adventure than they've ever imagined. So unlikely allies, Sabine and Ahsoka.
Could very well be.
And Hu Yang. And
see some more planets now. This is what I'm asking for.
More planets.
More stuff out there. I want to see more stuff. What else is out there? Could be anything.
And they get lost. Lost in space. Danger, danger.
If they get lost out there in a place we don't recognize, I'm going to say it's like two planets over. That's going to be cool.
Well, I think in January we'll find out.
Yeah.
So stay tuned.
I think that's great. Now, I have a question about your Thrawns, your dancing Thrawns.
Okay, they're still here.
Now, what I want to know is, why do you have... Nope, there they are. Are they all different or the same?
They're all different.
They're all different. Oh, he's got a Yasmari on there.
Yeah, these are Thrawns from over the years. This is a Power of the Force 2.
Okay, this is what I wanted to know because I was like, why would he have four of the same ones, which is strange.
Oh, no. Joe.
That's what I was really hoping it wasn't because Dancing Thrawns.
Okay. Star Wars Rebels.
He's a very nice one.
All according to plan.
Okay, right.
This is...
You and I love Thrawn because when we were reading those books, we loved Thrawn. We don't have time for not loving him.
This is another modern figure, but I don't know what line it's from. But this is a little more recent.
Young Thrawn.
Young, sexy Thrawn.
Okay.
This is a Jimmy Mac custom of a Grand Moff Tarkin Thrawn. I must have painted this thing
97.
Probably about the time I created this thing. Yeah.
Wow.
I was really into creating action figures, making my own. And as soon as that Tarkin was released for the first time, I knew he would be good with Blueface. And then here's another one. This is a fan-made custom.
I'm going to fan-made podcast this.
Yeah, we should get to work on that.
So you had them all dance their hands up in the air like this.
Yeah. They're not on the clock right now.
So. They're not. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well,
they're actually awaiting departure back into the collection. So.
Oh yeah. Well, that bit is over.
Yeah, and their days are numbered.
I did like that bit. I will say.
I did too. That's why the
Barry Letterman dancing, prancing fluids, dancing thrones.
I like that bit too, and that's why the action figures are here in the studio still, even though Ahsoka's been off for a couple of weeks now.
I knew they'd be there.
Hey, can I show you something that I thought is kind of cool? Is have you really ever taken a close look at Sabine in the TV show compared to Sabine in the animated show? Mm-hmm. And noted the differences in the armor, which I think are pretty fast. You made me think of this when you brought up the Beskar deflecting the blaster bolts.
Absolutely. And she's more Beskar-y on the Ahsoka show.
Yeah. And it's just it's a cooler look, I think. I was never too fond of the look of Rebels Sabine. Mm-hmm. She didn't feel Mandalorian enough to me. Look at this, like vast amounts of blank space with no armor here. And, you know, I mean, it's just, she doesn't look Mandalorian enough. Here she looks balls out Mandalorian. In the new Ahsoka TV show, she looks balls out Mandalorian and even more badass with the inclusion of a lightsaber on her belt. That's the one Ezra gave her.
And you were never a big fan of hers after all these years.
No.
And I'm telling you, you liked her more than anybody.
I did. I thought they did a great job.
We all did.
Character. Look how long the saber is. Maybe she's just really small. And like, you know, like Angus Young from AC/DC would play Gibson SG guitars. And when I was younger, I used to look at that and go, wow, that's a giant SG that guy's playing. But no. The player, Angus Young himself, is just really tiny.
Plus, he was the first guy to really wear those cargo shorts.
Well, it's
really long.
Well, it was a schoolboy look.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's still doing it to this day.
Amazing.
I just saw AC/DC is playing live again. I saw a set list, and it looks like it would be a good show to go see. I saw him a few times in the 80s, and they were great then.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really glad you put this up here because it's really interesting. You know, her old outfit is much more spray painty.
Yeah, yeah. It's much more colorful. It's
she was younger.
She is younger. That is
less threat.
But you'd think the armor is the same. I mean, she just painted it differently.
Well, she had a lot less threat back then.
A lot less what?
Threat.
What do you mean threat?
Threats to her life.
Oh, well, I think
she was just being a vandal running around. And then she got going with the Mandalorian.
Right, right.
But before that, she was just running around like an Ezra with painting stuff and being nuts. And, you know, it was a lot less threatening. I think she evolved into this, and I think it's fantastic. You know, that what's all in that arm thing she's got there? You know, it's got
her gauntlet.
Yeah. Fire.
Yeah, she has all kind of stuff she could do. Now, these things were invented by the Mandalorians to specifically counteract Jedi abilities.
Right.
So, you know, the Jedi could hold, like, I mean, they even showed it in the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
She was holding up her hand when Shin was attacking, and Shin at first thought that Sabine was going to try to use a force push on her.
Yeah, right.
But instead, the gauntlet took over.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Sabine was trying to force push at that moment. I don't know.
Might have been right. Just like when Ahsoka says, help us open the door. And she put her hand up. Who knows if it worked or not, or what degree it worked. Ahsoka knows, but I mean, but what did she do to block with that thing? I mean, she probably
she shot fire.
Fire,
she shot a blast of fire. How about a little fire?
Oh, two Wizard of Oz
references. My little Shin Hati.
My goodness gracious. Well, I was going through our age-old thing with who gets stabbed in the stomach and who this whole routine, right? Oh. And so the quick list of stuff, you know, you got Morgan now gets sliced in the stomach.
She got a slice.
That's not a stab. That's, first of all, she's a witch, so this is totally repairable. Second of all, Fennec had a stomach. They put all robot parts in there.
Yeah.
So, you know, stomach injuries. We got Morgan and, you know, Han and Qui-Gon, they're dead. Just straight through. You know, one came up yesterday. Somebody sent me the deleted scene of Shaak Ti. She got stabbed from the back straight through, if you remember now.
That came across my desk. Why did that come across my desk like yesterday?
It was yesterday, and it must have circulated somewhere, and somebody sent it to me. Somebody sent it to you, and it, bam, bam, bam. It's just,
why?
We're all doing the same stuff at the same times. And, you know, Grievous goes straight up through the back of her and out the front. That's a stab. So she's in the Han Qui-Gon stabby dead people. Reva didn't die, you know. Morgan, she ain't gonna die. There's no way. She's a witch. They say she's dead. They say she's dead.
Rewind.
But that's not even that.
She may have been able to survive the slice in the stomach.
Two slices.
But remember, as Thrawn was taking off, he had the Night Sister Tower destroyed.
It fell straight down.
And I'm pretty sure Morgan was still there when that happened.
Pretty sure.
Yeah. So if the slice across the gut didn't do it to her, the tower collapsing did.
Yes, you are right. But I'm gonna go.
But with it is Star Wars. So
Sabine stabbed straight through. Grand Inquisitor stabbed straight through.
Yeah.
And I came up with one other guy that was cut in the stomach with a lightsaber.
Okay.
And you'll never guess who. This
thing
was already
Qui-Gon Jinn. Darth Maul was sliced in half.
Half, yeah.
He survived.
But this is not a guy. Well, there might have been a boy.
A boy?
The Tauntaun.
Oh, come on. That thing was already dead.
So dead. And they sliced him straight in the stomach. So I'm just saying there's a lot of stomach slicings and stabbings. And not a lot of hand choppings. And I thought it was supposed to all be hand chops. And they're gone. And we've replaced it all with stabbies. Stabbies.
So what does that mean? Why is the Disney company so...
They don't want to see a hand chopped off.
Dismemberment. I mean, why are they so skittish about that? Now, they did have a decapitation in the final episode of Ahsoka, but we didn't actually see it happen, which is fine. I don't need to see it happen. You know?
Captain Hook has no hand. I mean, there's...
but we don't see him lose his hand, do we?
Well, there's people with no eyeballs. There's people with no hands. There's people with peg legs. And they're pirates and all this. We've just changed to stomach injuries. I don't know why. And it's so strange. And I did think of the Tauntaun the other day. I know he was already dead, but he was a stomach injury. And I thought that was funny.
Robble, robble, robble.
Yeah. So, but that Shaak Ti thing came on our radar yesterday.
Yes.
And we both felt that happen.
Weird.
Look at this.
What do you got?
I just got these.
Joe Dallas has stuff. Ooh, Star Wars Hot Wheels.
So my daughter and I like to be Fennec.
Fennec Shan.
And Boba.
Boba Fett.
So we saw these babies
mm-hmm.
at some little crazy store.
Had to get them.
Had to get them because look, man, they're cars and they're nice.
Well, that's what Hot Wheels does.
That's Boba. That's what we are. So we like to collect our characters. versions of stuff.
Well, that's so you guys have a father. This is a father-daughter collection. Is that what's going on here?
I'm thinking it's starting because look, there's Boba. There's a Boba and Fennec painting right there above my head. And I got this going, and I may be going to start, and our costumes are that. And I'm starting to, when we see a Boba and Fennec type thing, we grab it.
Yeah. Well, that's fun.
Look at this.
You guys can have fun collecting together.
Look at this hot chick.
Oh, I need that one. Oh,
I know. I just got it.
Yeah. Yeah. I need that Tusken Raider. That is the Tusken warrior, the female warrior that Boba dueled with in Book of Boba Fett. And they also have the 4-pack of Tuskens that is available now. But I'm finally learning to wait for this stuff to get marked down, because it always gets marked down.
These are like $20, man. And they're not even 10 or 15. They're like $20.
I saw the new action figures retailing for $16.98. Yeah, 16
something.
Amazon, right?
Yeah, they are. They are in the store, they were higher. Mm-hmm. And then on Amazon, they were lower. Mm-hmm. But, I only buy the ones I really think are cool now. And this passed the test.
So they charge $4 more to purchase this at a store?
So at the cash register, I said, well, no, it was 26 at this store. It was a FYE for your entertainment or for your information. I stood there and I said, why is this 26? Mm-hmm. And she says, I don't know. That's just where they are.
We're just gouging.
Real quick before I buy this, because I didn't know there was no price on it, I said, let me just check Amazon, Amazon.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, all right, whatever. Who cares? Yeah,
we don't.
So I checked it and I showed it to her. I said, it's 16 right here, man. Mm-hmm. $10 more. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. What are you guys doing? She goes, I don't know. I don't know what we're doing. And I said, I don't know what you're doing. Nobody cares.
Yeah. And there's
not a mom and a pop store anymore. The world is different.
Of course not. And they're sitting there scratching their heads going, I wonder why brick and mortar is dying. Well, you should, if somebody's going to approach you and show you a better price at Amazon, at least match the price.
I just I just wanted to know why. Why am I not able to get this right now for, $10? It's just,
wow. It's like you're getting
penalized. I want to go home with this right now.
Right.
I don't want to order it at Amazon. Come on, man.
Come on. Yeah, don't penalize your customers. I mean, if they find something they want to buy, let them buy it. these stores are chock full of all this merchandise that nobody's buying because of reasons like that. I mean,
she just doesn't care.
They don't care, Joe.
In the old days, person owned a business. They wanted you to be happy. They cared about stuff. Now, so you take an amplifier. I got like two or three amplifiers that are not turning on for some reason or another. You take it to a guy.
Yeah.
You go like this. I'll see you in an hour. And he'd get in there, solder this. And then, you needed a transducer boost and a little sensor. Blah, 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 and he'd fix it all up. Give it back to me fixed, right? $20. He'd be like, $20 or $25. Here, give me a hamburger. We're good. We're done. Thank you. Goodbye. Now you take a $400 heavy to lift item.
Yeah.
And you have zero use for it. And if you want to get a guy to repair it, it's going to be $200. And another new one at your door. I just have giant piles of stuff that doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
And you're just supposed to not care and get a new one.
This has been a public service announcement from Joe Dallas.
Well, it's not a service. It's terrible. I want a guy that can do this.
Been a bad service announcement from Joe Dallas.
What a service announcement. I want to take my little model trains to the guy at the flea market in the old days. Like my dad used to say, hey, Joe, give me the trains. I'll take them to the guy. The guy gets in there and he goes, gives me back working trains for $20, 5 of them. Those guys are gone.
Oh, yeah. Well, what are you going to do, Joe?
It's sad.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Just order online, I guess.
Just order another one.
Just get another one.
Just get another one.
Send it back. Get another one.
What do you do with all this stuff that should be fixed and you don't want to throw it away? And it's giant and seems like it's worth something and it's worth nothing anymore. All right. So in my last episode.
Yes.
I had all these predictions.
Ooh, predictions.
And they all didn't come true.
Oh, I'm
but so you sorry. Were right about one of them.
Oh, I was. All right. Well, let's review these predictions. Let's you have them all in front of you, Joe?
Yeah, just a few of them, and then I want to do my top 10.
All right.
Okay, so listen to this. Okay, here's one thing that came true that I wanted that happened. I wanted no time travel.
No time travel.
And I was so happy that we did the world between the worlds, between worlds the way we did. It wasn't time travel. It wasn't go back and fix this, go over there and fix that.
Mm-hmm.
So glad.
Yeah, that worked out pretty well.
That worked out well, and I loved it.
Yeah, I did too.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, there were no dinosaurs. I thought maybe we could get a T-Rex in there. I wanted to see a planet with prehistoric animals on it.
What do we have? We had whales.
We did have whales. They are prehistoric, and we did have those weird dog monster things. But I wanted dinosaurs, but we didn't get it. But that's okay. No loth wolves. I thought we'd see a loth wolf.
No. Those are special. I think they
World Between World had them on the picture.
They were. I think they were specifically connected to Cain and Jairus. So
they were. Caleb Doom.
Yeah. Season two.
I can talk.
Stay tuned for season two. So.
And they were very Lothal oriented.
Mm-hmm.
They were in the painting she touched, so they were there, and they run around in a circle and the whole thing. So that they were kind of there represented, but they weren't real. They weren't there, so that's okay. But I said, I thought, well, you know, you had that cat. What do you call a cat?
Loth cat.
Loth cat was very cool and all over the beginning, and that was nice. But what you closed every show with and what I requested was puffer pigs.
No puffer pig.
I said, how many puffer pigs are there going to be? I said, I think there'll be 8 puffer pig shots.
Mm-hmm.
We got about 8 loth cat shots.
Mm-hmm.
0 puffer pigs. You said 0 puffer pigs. You nailed it.
All right. Well, here you go. I'm going to give you the 8 puffer pig salute here on RFR Q&A.
Take it out. Oh, that's 7 shorts and 1 long. That's like a SOS in puffer pig.
Oh. Oh, Morse code with Joe Dallas.
Yeah. Okay.
And puffer pig.
There was one more thing I wanted and then we didn't get. I wanted some form of Ashley walking around.
Okay, yeah, I'm a little surprised get it, huh? myself, you know, when she was talking about being on set and everything, but sure enough, she was completely excluded from this entire production.
And I wanted David Eckstein to show up if she didn't.
Like, Ashley couldn't have been on board one of those, like, rebel ships.
Didn't you think maybe he might have just said, like, hey, we're going out to dinner, you want to come to dinner? And she said, yeah, let's go to dinner. And then she said, hey, you want to come over tomorrow and see the stuff? You know, don't you think? And then she could have just wandered by in the background. Please just do that or something. God. Well, and then I said, Billy Eckstein's in it. Yeah. And you said, who's Billy Eckstein? I remember he was a musician.
David Eckstein.
I know. You said David Eckstein. I said Billy Eckstein.
Yeah, Billy.
Okay. So anyway, that's what I asked for. Some of it we got, some of it we didn't. Some of it was just hoping, some of it was, you know. All right. It's time.
It's time for the Joe Dallas top 10.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, baby.
Here's the top 10 list for this show. Okay. It's a little complicated of a title, but you'll understand it. It's the top 10 things about pergills and earth eels and whales that will blow your mind.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, I mean, obviously you're out there in the Florida Keys, so this is commonplace to you. It's probably about as common as a squirrel is to me.
We don't have any squirrels in the Keys.
No, I know.
You know that?
Yes, I do know that.
We have everything else, rats and mice and monsters. We'd have no squirrels.
Squirrel-free zone.
How do you know that?
Well, because I am the one who eliminated all of the squirrels from the Florida Keys. I went out there one summer and I had with me an arsenal of squirrel hunting utensils.
I used to have to travel to Mexico to see an iguana. Now they're everywhere in my backyard, everywhere.
Yeah, we don't have those in Illinois.
Babies are everywhere.
Yeah, you don't see an iguana in Illinois.
I just remember one day somebody saying, there's no squirrels here. And I'm like, what? You're right. There's no squirrels here.
Oh, man. So if Bullwinkle was there, he wouldn't be able to hang out with Rocky.
Okay, what's this, Jimmy?
Wait, what's happening here? You're doing, that is a purgle. That is sign language.
No, that's just a whole flock of these things.
Oh, I see.
That's an old joke from kindergarten. Yes, it was a purgle. Look at that. That's a purgle.
It's beautiful. It's just Joe waving his hand across the camera.
No, you're just waving your hand like some kind of Jedi.
Yeah, Jedi.
I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
No. Okay. How much do you know, Jimmy, about eels?
My only education on eels are like moray eels, and that all comes from the movie Peter Benchley's The Deep.
Yeah.
Which is the film in 77 that I saw instead of Star Wars. Right. I didn't get on board the Star Wars train until about September that year.
Oh, that's right. The Deep was the one you saw before Star Wars. Oh,
yeah.
Well, let me tell you.
It was the first PG-rated film I ever saw.
When that movie came out, we didn't know what we don't know about eels now.
Okay.
We didn't even know what we didn't know then, because, man, do we not know stuff. And that's what this list is all about. Hold on.
So between 1977 and now,
we learned more of what we don't know.
Eel research has basically been at a complete standstill.
It sort of has. Wait, here's number 10.
Wait a second now. Okay. Hold up.
It's all going to be answered right here.
Freeze everything, because I just went through this recently with turtles.
I know. That's what made me think of this.
So you're
inspired
by turtles.
I'm a musician, Jimmy.
Yes, I know.
I'm not a eel wars. But I have looked up a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't go real deep like our buddy when the turtles does. But I just thought I'd throw some of these things out there. Number 10.
All right, number 10.
Okay. So
what is the category again? Top 10 things.
About pergills and earth eels and whales that will blow your mind.
Top 10 things about pergills and earth eels and whales that will blow your mind.
That's correct.
And you're saying this because a pergill is sort of half whale and half eel?
I'm thinking they are.
Okay. All right. So here we go. Joe Dallas's top 10 list of the top 10 things. Pergills, eels, and whales. Go.
So that's the number 10 is pergills might be like eels. So we have already said it. I think they are a lot like eels in a lot of ways. And they've been around for a very, very, very long time. They are prehistoric, like whales are prehistoric on Earth and in the show. The show, they were prehistoric. They were from the dreams and the legends. And here right. They are too. They're from the old days and all the old stories of all the old whales. Pergills are like eels and whales, and eels are electric. Pergills. Okay, go ahead.
However, it doesn't appear that pergills are unknown to the Star Wars galaxy.
Oh, they're known, just like we knew we had
whales.
They know. Oh, yeah.
So the mere existence of pergills, that doesn't come from the folk tales and kiddie stories and stuff, but
well, the stories do, just like Jonah and the whale and the thing and the stories that they call the younglings, you know.
Like, so there's like a Moby Dick version of
probably a dude that jumped in a whale's mouth in the
a burgle. Yeah, okay.
Well, that, I mean, dude, we just have to ask Hu Yang to tell us some stories.
Tell me a story, Hu Yang.
Yes. Oh, go on.
Okay, there's a dude who jumped into a whale's mouth. Would you be interested in hearing that?
You would never.
Young Ahsoka sits up. You would never. Yes, please.
So they're prehistoric here and there. Cool. Number nine. Eels.
Eat.
Everything.
Everything.
Or anything.
Okay.
In real life. Maybe so do Purrgils.
Well, I mean, a Purrgil, you know, popped Ahsoka's starship right in its mouth and didn't seem to have a hang up about it either.
We don't know what humpback whales don't eat for most of the year.
Is that another fact?
That's a fact. So
okay, so you're throwing two facts.
I'm saying lots of facts. Nine. Eels eat just about anything. Like they don't have specific thing to eat. They'll just eat.
Okay,
that's weird.
That's not weird.
That's pretty weird.
A lot of things that all
you would do that, and so would an eel. And a whale doesn't eat almost all year. Who knows what a Purrgil does? We never saw it eat.
Right. That's one thing very similar to what a whale does, though.
Probably, maybe.
Yeah.
You know? Now, here's the weirdest thing. Number eight. Okay. Eels develop reproductive organs late in life.
Okay.
And no one to this day, still to this day, has ever seen an eel reproduce.
What?
Yeah, look it up. No one has ever seen it. They think, this is what I'm telling you will blow your mind. No one's ever seen it. So they somehow flurry around or something and die, and the new ones come out and they all swim back. Nobody knows what is happening there, and no one's ever seen it. It's not recorded, and no one's ever observed a reproductive eel situation.
Well, Joe, that's a fascinating fact, but what does that have in common with a Purrgil?
Well, I'm just saying probably Purrgils are like this.
That's a probably.
This
list is top 10 things Purrgils and earth eels and whales have in common.
Maybe. And some of these things,
maybe,
I can't even understand on Earth.
Okay, baby. But I think this is starting to turn into more of a facts about eels and whales that we know.
We're trying to relate them to Purrgils.
We're trying.
Yes.
Trying is the main word here.
Well, here's the thing. We don't know anything about Purrgils. We're trying to make an attempt here to understand them.
All I know is I want to make an attempt to see an eel reproduce.
That no one's
and
done
I
that.
Will be the first.
No one's
and it'll happen right here on RFR.
No one's seen
live.
It. Now that's supposed to blow your mind that's never been seen. That blew my mind when I found out that no one has ever seen that. Now,
so
here's more.
And maybe no one's seen a Purrgil give birth.
Now, number seven is eels and Purrgils. You're saying they're not, you know, exactly related. Well, an eel's electric and a Purrgil's electric.
Yeah, a Purrgil does appear to have some sort of current flowing through it because it lights up.
They eat that space cloudy stuff that from that one planet they eat
that they
that,
were mining in
that
Star
green
Wars
gas.
That was the they were attracted to that.
I don't think that's their food. They just eat that for fuel type reserves. And that's what they've, you know, but why the heck is an eel electric? And how's that work?
How does that work?
See what I mean about this list?
All right. That was a good one. I'll give you
that.
Okay.
You got that one?
That was a good one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. You didn't hate that one.
A little electricity.
Here's another good one. Okay. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's a couple bad ones on the list, but they still make you think. Okay?
Just when you get to the bad one, just say, and maybe a Purrgil is that way too.
So that's what I feel like I was trying to say. I'm trying to, it's almost a push to understand the Purrgils through this list. Number five.
And to understand the eels.
Absolutely.
Because people don't understand the eels.
Nobody to this day does.
They're a mystery.
Now, let's talk about a mystery. I hear in the Keys, I'm on the tip of the Bermuda Triangle.
Ooh, that's where ships disappear and all kind of weird things happen. There
right
might even
here.
Be a UFO under the water kind of.
I'm so glad you said that.
It's true. I know this for a fact.
You try to shoot down this list, but this list is fantastic and it's just going to get better.
You know, the movie The Deep, that was shot in the Bermuda Triangle, in the Bermudas, yeah. I guess, somewhere.
So
Nick Nolte, gruff yet lovable.
Now, the Purrgils, they migrate, right? And yeah. they go to that place to die, and they do this migration thing. Well, so do eels. Eels go to the Bermuda Triangle to reproduce.
Oh, to reproduce, but not to die.
They die there.
Well, and they die there.
Yeah, they die and reproduce there. Okay. But they make a trek like the whales do to Cetos, you know, and that's a lane. And where is weirder than the Bermuda Triangle for this to happen? This is so spacey.
I get it. I get it.
You see what I'm saying? It's blowing my mind.
Because there is, you know, there has been that mystical quality about the Bermuda Triangle that there, you know, there's a danger present there. And the danger itself might be otherworldly in nature. We just don't know. And then, of course, Peridia is in another galaxy, and there's fables about it and other sort of over-exaggerations about the mystical qualities of it. Maybe isn't that not
amazingly cool? I mean, they could go to San Francisco, but they don't.
All right, you're doing better, Joe. You're doing better.
I told you the ghost is going to get better.
The top 10.
Even the bad ones, we're still like me trying to make some work. But here's what I'm saying. It's mysterious, man.
All right, so where are we at now? Number six?
Number five.
Number five.
Okay, number five comes in this picture. Hold on. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Joe has a picture he's going to have to share with me, and I'll share with you. Number five, top 10 things Purrgils and earth eels and whales have in common. Maybe.
I love it. I got this from Ralph McQuarrie himself.
Ooh, RMQ.
I said, hey, Ralph. He said, hey. I said, hey, that's nice. Give me that. He said, okay.
Okay.
And I bought this from him.
Here, Joe is showing an image on screen right now. Is a framed image of, I can't see it. Get it in the camera.
That's hard. I want to get the glare off of it. Hold on.
I can't quite make out what it is at all.
Okay.
Hold on. It looks like a fish, some underwater activity here.
Yes.
This is a Ralph McQuarrie.
Let me see if I can get a better angle.
What's it from?
Right. It's not from anything.
Oh, it's just
a painting he made that I liked.
Oh, okay.
That I bought in 2007-ish.
Well, describe what's on
it. In LA. Okay. What's on it is just like what we're talking about. Everything. It's got underwater pyramids and dolphins and under, like a lost civilization of pyramids underwater that he drew here. And I said, wow, that's cool. I've been hanging in my house now ever since I got it from him himself in 2007. It's just original concept.
That's a piece of artwork I'm not familiar with. I'm going to try to find out.
Well, it's an original. It's original. It does say like 2 of 5 or something at the bottom.
No.
And I got it from Ralph himself. So I actually got to buy something from Ralph himself. I was just like knocked out. He was at the convention standing there at the booth. You guys were across the thing. I think you were podcasting and he was over in another booth.
What? I was never at a show with Ralph McQuarrie.
He was at his booth. Well, I think it was in LA. Podcasting on a table in the main hall, and he was over in the main hall.
Ralph was there? I have no
signing. I'm not sure which one it was. I think it was LA or it might have been before it. He was there selling his art.
Amazing.
We'll have to check exactly what year, but anyway.
Well, I know he was going out to conventions and stuff with Stan Stice and the Dreams and Visions press crew when he was alive, but I am not aware of being in a convention center that Ralph McQuarrie himself were. But then, you know, those were the early days of me being involved in organized fandom.
You were there, I was there, and I got this. And there's another thing on this picture that really, if you can't close look,
is that it looks kind of like a Purrgil, doesn't it? Interesting.
I added a Purrgil to it.
Oh, you added it. What are you, nuts?
You see what I did?
It's like, wow, Ralph is, you know, now I'm the wheels of my brain are in motion. I'm thinking that's
like a Steve Martin thing.
Filoni saw this and
you see that? No, that's a Purrgil I added on the picture.
He's got a bunch of dolphins in there, but See? There's this really weird whale he put in there.
I put a pergill on it.
Oh, God. Get that off of there. You're nuts, man.
Pretty cool, though.
Good stuff there, Joe.
I'll tell you what. That is an amazing thing to buy from Ralph himself.
Okay.
It is very, very cool. All right.
Back to the top 10 things pergills and earth eels and whales have in common. Maybe.
So you saw those pyramids. And Ralph was on top of all this, and you know how all these little CETOS places, they have these functional, and whatever pyramids do, and it's underwater in the Bermuda Triangle. Did you know that all the pyramids are almost all on the same latitude?
Yeah. No.
They're maybe. They're almost even Mexico straight across all the way
yeah.
to Egypt. All it's all the same latitude, and they point to the stars and they do all this stuff. Wow. And the whole thing blows my mind. And the fact that Ralph put those underwater with dolphins and animals and things, I don't even know if that's what I, let's see here. I couldn't even believe it. And I don't even know what number we're on, but I just think that's cool. Wait, look at this, Jimmy.
What do you have now? What are you showing me, Joe? That is that the scarf you were wearing earlier?
It looks like it, doesn't it?
Looks you know like what this is from? Into a snake.
This is Beetlejuice, the eel from Beetlejuice.
Oh. See, it has the same black and white striped design as your scarf.
He is an eel with an eel stuck in him with another eel stuck in him.
Another eel. Yeah.
That's an actual thing from the Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuicing. I don't remember Beetlejuice. I saw Beetlejuice when it first came out.
The musical, though. This is a toy you buy at the musical.
Oh, I see.
And he's a weird eel. And I told my daughter, I said, I'll get that into the show. Look at this. But he does look like my scarf.
Yes, yes. And that can't just be a coincidence.
No.
I thought you knitted that thing while we were talking.
Well.
Out of the scarf. That would have been pretty impressive.
It is right here, though. Look at this.
There's the scarf.
I just thought to myself.
There's the eel.
Look at this eel with the eel stuck in it, with the eel stuck in it. That should go on the eel list. I don't know why. It's outer space monsters.
Amazing, Joe.
Okay. Here we go. Now, pergills don't have gills.
Pergills don't have gills.
They're called pergills, though.
Oh, wait a second. What's going on here?
I'm blowing your mind.
Pergills don't have gills.
Right.
Okay. That's something that's, you know, that's one of those things.
I know.
You just say to yourself, oh, that's weird.
Yeah. So they don't have gills. They are like mammals.
Yes.
And they breathe the air from that gas into their lungs. And they, whales, they store oxygen in their blood and their muscles, and pergills store the gas.
Yeah. And of course, you know, earth whales don't have gills. Which
right, but they're not called whale gills.
Well, they should be.
So you think it's a terrible list, but this is some good facts.
Do you think pergills have blowholes?
No.
Now, why not?
They're very squiddy, and they're very eely. And
they are squiddy and eely. Yeah.
They're squiddy and eely and electric and mammally. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they blow anything out of there. I think they just eat that gas, and then they store that, and they use that.
Well, if like a lightsaber came out of there, and they dueled. They're always saying, we need to figure out where Star Wars is going in the future. That could be it.
It's cool that a whale stores oxygen in his blood, and it's cool that a pergill stores gas in his system. And
yeah, I got a lot of gas in my system.
Hello. All right, we are down to number two.
Number two.
Okay, number two. This isn't pergill related. This is just whale related. 0.1% of the ocean is whale pee.
That's ruined every vacation for every RFR listener.
And it explains the smell down the street from my house.
Yeah. You think that's what the odor is? It's whale pee. It's not all those beach bums and
0.1% is of the whole ocean is just pee, whale pee.
That's
it makes you think about pergills and wherever that's going to go.
Well, if just 1% alone comes from whales, what about all the
point one?
What about all the other marine life down there?
There's so much garbage out there.
Oh.
But I just thought that was interesting that 0.1% is pure whale pee.
Who figured that out?
I don't know, but it's out there.
How do you take that kind of measurement?
What kind of percent of pergill is space pee?
Wait, you mean what percent of space is pergill pee?
Any way you want to say it.
I want to say it, but I don't want to think about it.
Oh, my God. And number one.
The number one reason, the number one thing pergills and earth eels and whales have in common, maybe. It is.
Whales and pergills both have empathy, which explains why both made crying sounds as we watched The Last Jedi.
I thought that was song. I didn't know it was crying.
Songs are wailing or crying. It sounds like crying.
Whale song. I've never heard it referred to as whale cry.
Well, that's what I do when I watch The Last Jedi.
That's the noise I make after the episode.
That empathy is amazing when it looks into the eyeballs, and a whale has empathy.
Okay.
Pretty interesting.
And they both have that kind of like brushy teeth thing.
Yeah, that grid. That's a plankton thing.
What do you mean? It was just to filter out the the stuff.
Do you ever think that if you were going to carry somebody around in your mouth that you might just accidentally go, oh, sorry.
Yes. Absolutely. But I think Ahsoka had a force deal with the purge.
A force deal, yeah.
Yeah, like, hey, we're going to be in here for a while.
Absolutely.
Definitely not plankton. And definitely not like a breath mint or anything. Just forget we're here.
Man, cool. Oh, man.
And plus, well, in a ship, though, they can hover in the mouth.
Yeah.
Without like landing on the tongue or anything to alert the whale to maybe involuntarily swallow.
In Pittsburgh, you used to go into Noah's Ark. And you would enter through the whale and you would walk on his tongue and it was a weird feeling. And then you went into it was just a great haunted house type of a ride.
Oh,
that you went to at Kennywood at that park. We talked about that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You enter on the whale tongue. It's pretty cool. And these stories have been around forever, just like they were. And I really like the connection and I really like how she looks right at the thing and they look right in his eyeball. And it's just like.
There Joe is staring directly into the camera and it's eerily a lot like the Ahsoka episode, but I'm not getting the empathy.
No,
I'm not.
I was just freaked out and perplexed. I mean,
I got freaked out and perplexed more than empathy. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know the whole thing. The pergills, I guess I got obsessed with them.
They were a lot of fun. And that's another thing that I didn't really care much about Star Wars Rebels. I thought it was sort of silly, the whole pergils thing.
Mm-hmm.
Space whales, you know. But
me too.
Somehow, Filoni made it just a lot more tangible and a lot more, I don't know, easier to accept, I think, in live action.
Dave has a tendency to do that. And I was thinking one day, you were saying something about him, and I think maybe Dave doesn't remember what it's like not to know everything that's going to happen and every reason for everything.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if he can even remember what it was like to wonder about things about Star Wars.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a good question. Like, is he getting too close to the material? Is he neglecting? I don't think so. I think there's a lot of things that he does get really right when it comes to Star Wars.
And he does get it right, but can he even remember what an average person knows or doesn't know?
Like, as a Star Wars fan.
So you know how everybody says Ahsoka is starting on way too far in.
Yes.
I wonder if Dave can even remember what it's like to not know. You know what I mean? I think it's got to be hard to try to put yourself in a position of not knowing what everybody would already know if that's all you do every day and you think about it all the time. So I think there's one of the reasons why it didn't have as much backstory. I don't think he can remember what it was like to be us or people that even aren't us.
The mechanics of good storytelling, though, require certain fundamentals to be placed within the story itself.
And 100% agree.
But that's
why you need another guy.
Season one was lacking in those fundamentals.
You need some more guys in there.
Yeah.
Maybe a
second draft. I don't know.
A commoner.
It's like a lot of things that happen are first draft stuff.
That's a good point. It could be a first draft.
It's probably just their way of being cheap about things, you know. It's good enough. Just run with it.
I was so obsessed with Ahsoka's ship. Whew, I really
liked it. The T6.
I tried to find it. I would like to buy one, but the Lego one is out there. And you know, you and I are not. I mean, I like a snap a Lego together, or whatever. But I mean, I want to get a something to put a figure in.
Uh-huh.
I haven't found an Ahsoka T6 yet anywhere, and I really like the way it spins around. I love that ship. I love how she jumps out of it all the time, jumps around on the top of it.
Yeah,
very cool ship. One of my most favorite ships in a very long time.
It's a good one.
I kind of want a T6 of some sort in my house here.
Well, there's the Mission Fleet series from Hasbro, and it's smaller action figures. It's a action figure line geared toward younger children. The Mission Fleet, but there is a 2.5-inch sized action figure, and you can get it at Walmart.
Oh yeah.
And it comes with a little Ahsoka action figure.
I guess I want a 3 3/4 because that's where everything's at. But I mean, yeah, you got a picture coming up. Oh, look at that.
Yeah, there you go. So I mean, you can see it's a little Ahsoka there.
It might just take care of what
that's what it looks like there.
What's that called?
It's called Mission Fleet, Star Wars Mission Fleet.
How about that?
And it's another misguided attempt from Hasbro to offer fans something other than the action figures we actually want.
Oh, that's what I want, a 3 3/4.
It must be cheaper to produce these things. That's why they're sticking with this line. It's been around for a couple of years, but it comes with a little Ahsoka figure. You could put it right there in the cockpit.
I'm glad you found this. T6. This is really cool. I wonder, does it spin around?
I don't know what sort of features it has.
I sure hope it does.
Oh, this is like the first time I've seen one of these things. Imagine taking on the galaxy with the Star Wars Mission Fleet T6 Jedi Shuttle Showdown action figure set. This Ahsoka toy includes a 2.5-inch scale Ahsoka Tano action figure featuring fully posable arms, legs, and head. You can imagine Ahsoka embarking on exciting missions featuring a cockpit and repositionable wings. Repositionable wings.
Good. Repositionable. But I need
and you can see even in the art for it,
we need another inch, though.
The wings.
Badly.
Yeah, I know. It just drives me mad.
I like how she opted at the aftermarket place, you know, to put the table that goes up and down for training. You know, she does a great option, she added. And it's Hu Yang's ship, probably, right?
Somebody mentioned something, though, to me. They're like, you know, that dinner table becomes their floor. So they're basically eating off the floor.
I didn't think it's a table that's a hologram too, right? It's not, is it?
Yes. Yes.
Dinner table. But anyway, I do like, I mean, that's not very different than a camper. You know, that's what campers do. The table turns into the chair, turns into the bed, turns into the whatever, the wall.
Right, right, right.
I don't know. I like that option. I definitely like that option. Hey, one more thing. Thrawn has no idea about Luke.
Well, yeah. I mean,
he
would have no idea.
He has no idea of Luke.
Unless, of course, somebody caught him up to date. Morgan Elsbeth. So, because, I mean, there must have been a scene. So what's been going on since I've been gone? Yeah. Have I missed anything?
Yeah, he would know Vader came and went, the Empire came and went, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know what he knows about Luke, and this is starting to make me wonder. I mean, Luke's obviously going to get rid of everything that happens, because, you know, there's nothing left when the thing comes back in the sequels. And
right.
So we know Luke's running around, so I guess he organizes everybody, kill all the witches and the thrones. Right. So, but Thrawn knows a lot. He doesn't know about Luke. Mm. And I hadn't heard anybody bring that up yet.
No. Yeah, I mean, it's hard.
I'm trying to think. How would he know?
Well, he obviously realizes the Empire has fallen, because he believes, like everyone else does, that his return will bring back the Empire as a full-fledged entity.
And he says, I'll never make that mistake again about a Jedi, you know?
That might be some foreshadowing.
That's amazing foreshadowing.
Luke. Yeah.
I mean, I was just thinking, I don't think any of us are making a big enough deal about the fact that he's going back there. He thinks, I don't know, he doesn't know who's around. He's not too worried about Baylan, who's a great Jedi.
Right.
He's not too worried about anybody who's a great Jedi. But, hey, Thrawn, Luke is going to be there.
Thrawn, yeah. He didn't seem very concerned with Baylan, did he?
Not really. And Baylan was a serious, could kill Thrawn at any moment, but that's, Thrawn's too smart for that. And
he feared Ahsoka Tano.
No, he feared, but under, he didn't fear her. He feared not respecting her. You know, he didn't fear her. He feared underestimating her.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Because he believes he underestimated Ezra?
No, Ezra was a non-factor to him. Ezra
not? I thought, who is the Jedi that bested Thrawn?
Well, he just knows Anakin turned...
Ezra was the Jedi who bested Thrawn.
Well, so they kind of tied on that ship when they flew back. I mean, I guess he bested. Did he?
Well, then who is the Jedi we're talking about?
Well, we're not talking about them. He's just underestimating them. They always keep coming back, you know. It wasn't like a one-on-one fight. It was just, don't underestimate these guys. They never give up. They always show up. You thought they were down there, back again. That's what I think he underestimates. But he knew about all those when the Order 66 went down and all that. He was there for all that. So he knows how Jedi are, and he knows how resilient they are. So he's worried about how people will maybe underestimate them, and he'll never make the mistake again. But I don't know if there was a one-on-one fight, but yeah.
Well, he specifically says, I was bested by a Jedi once. I will not make that mistake a second time.
I underestimated one.
But I mean, who is that Jedi? That's Ezra.
Or Anakin.
Anakin's a non, he's the non-factor. Anakin,
well, he was a great Jedi when Thrawn knew him. You know what I mean? But I don't know.
There's information in a book that I didn't read where Thrawn and Anakin somehow cross paths. So I guess I'm going to have to research that.
Oh, I don't know. But the point is I like that he doesn't want to underestimate a Jedi, and he's got a nice fresh one coming.
Yeah, he certainly does. And this has been a fresh show, man. Good conversations. Highlights of it being, of course, your Ahsoka recap and the top 10 things Purgles and Earth Eels and Whales have in common. Maybe. But yeah, you said you wanted to start off with some Ahsoka talk, and you certainly did. So that was a lot of fun, God. Joe.
Heck yeah.
I look forward to us eventually... having another Q-Bert showdown someday.
I was thinking there, you're talking about some sort of a, I was hoping there might be a biannual thing, you know. You're talking about some sort of a ghost thing coming up.
Oh.
Maybe we'll see when that's going to be, whenever you figure that out.
Oh, wow. I mean, yeah, now you're putting pressure on me. Now.
No. I'm just saying. I probably can't. I was
thinking about a holiday hang, maybe, you know.
Yeah, who knows.
We'll see. Everyone gets so busy around the holidays, so I don't know, maybe before that. Who knows?
But I'm definitely going to come back out there in the summer again.
I haven't been to the ghost hardly at all since you were out here last time. So
yeah.
I was just thinking to myself today that I think my Saturday night might require a visit back to that place. So,
man, I got Dig Dug going now. Unstoppable. I'm unstoppable. A couple million. I can't. Oh, whatever. 200,000.
You keep Dig Dugging yourself a new hole while I'm
digging a hole.
Keep working on Q-Word, because I think I got some catching up to do to you, judging from that last video you sent me where you were well over a million.
Oh yeah, almost a couple million, and I had to stop because it closed. But we could go forever, I think.
I think I'm gonna have to get my own machine, is what this is coming down to.
You're already too good at it. I mean, think of the time.
I want world records.
I was making a tutorial for the bartender at this place I go to. She said, I can't do level 3. Like, I keep dying on 3.
Oh, my God. So level 3 is a walk in the park.
So I made her a little video. Here's how you do 3. And I sent it to her. So I make tutorials. I'm like a influencer tutorial man.
The toughest level is level 2, round 4.
Where that turns black, sort of.
Yes.
That's a for sure lose one guy.
Yeah, I call that one the Widowmaker.
A long time ago, you told me, you said, you know, Joe, you can lose a guy.
It's okay.
It's okay to lose one guy.
It's fine.
Changed the whole outlook on it all. Because you want to, if you could just, you know, just sacrifice one guy, you got more guys.
That's all right. What goes around comes around in the Q-Bert world.
That's right.
Words of wisdom, I think. All right, Joe Dallas. Well, let's get on out of here. And I really appreciate your friendship and support and laughs and hand purgles.
There they go.
Joe Dallas with the hand purgle once again.
Electric.
That's pretty convincing. You're going to have to figure out a way to make your hand like light up or something.
They're electric, man.
Ooh.
Why are eels electric? Where does it come from? How do they do? Look it up, everybody. Nobody knows these things.
Nobody knows. If you know, send us an email, show@rebelforceradio.com, and we'll tell Joe.
Turtle Wars, he probably knows.
Turtle Wars knows all. And Turtle Wars is on the roster. He'll be coming up here in a few weeks on RFR Q&A.
So. He became a very high-level VIP very, very fast.
Yeah.
We all got to know what he knows.
Yeah. You know,
loving it.
Yeah. High-level VIP status fast, talking about turtles, which are very slow.
They are slow, and I watch them come right out of the water in Hawaii when I was there, and I watch them come right up on the beach in Melbourne, lay their eggs, big giant monsters coming out, speed of 0 miles an hour, and then if they see any light, they give up and they go back. You can't let them see any light.
No.
Just the moon.
And then we will watch eels reproduce.
No one's seen that.
No one's seen it, but we will. We will see it, and we'll share it with our listeners.
We send people to the moon. We make shows about Ahsoka. We don't know how eels reproduce.
So maybe coming up next time on RFR Q&A, we'll get deeper into eel reproduction.
All right.
All right, buddy. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for listening to RFR Q&A. We'll be back with more coming up as we rock the fall into the winter. And I'm going to be falling a lot this winter, I'm going to tell you.
Oh,
you know, eggnog, et cetera. Swank one time had me make this eggnog before a Christmas show we did. And I still am wondering what happened to the brain cells I lost that night.
Wow.
So, yeah, all of that and more coming up on Rebel Force Radio. But for now, we're going to say goodnight here on the Q&A. So on behalf of Joe Dallas, Rebel Force Radio, and the RFR Q&A, I am Jimmy Mack. Thanks for listening. And remember,
the Force will be with you always.
Maybe.
Maybe.